This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Hey, it is The Drive. Good evening. With Tay and Piper, I'm Lante. He is Derek Piper. Trevor Valise here as well. He's going to join us at 5:30 for our segment called Stuff, which yesterday turned out to be a wonderful segment. Great to visit with Nick Hill, SIU football coach, at 4:30. Kind of how tough it is right now in the FCS. Of course, Southern lost a game against Wisconsin. That was about $500,000 payout that means a lot to not only the SIU football program, but to SIU softball, SIU baseball, and on and on and on. So not an easy time at FCS schools, but it was great to visit with Nick, and he had some nice inspirational words, essentially, to say, hey, sometimes you got to keep going, and that's what we're doing. Right now, though, we're going to talk kind of a broader scope of college football with ESPN college football writer Adam Rittenberg. Adam hasn't figured out that he's too big for our show yet. He still comes on. Adam, thanks, buddy. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. I'm never too big for you guys. Well, great to be on with you.
Well, I appreciate that, buddy. Have you been staying pretty busy, I assume?
Yeah, it's been a much busier time than normal, obviously. Usually, this is, well, right now we're sort of in that media days period, but you know, late June and early July, even May, was just, again, with so many questions, We don't really have that many answers. I know the NCAA came out with some protocols today that, you know, likely will be applied throughout the Power Five, but there's a lot of unknowns, which leads to a lot of news. So,
now, Adam, Lon mentioned stuff. Let's start with some good stuff. I don't know how much of that is in college football, but you were part of a report today with Jeff Borzello. Big Ten basketball coaches voted to go ahead with team organized activity starting next week. So, what do you think that means, and how do you see that kind of playing out going forward?
Yeah, I think it was sort of kind of keeping the initial timeline. But I know there were some in the league that were wondering if they were going to push back a little bit. Now that every team has its own option to not start on Monday. But coaches, if they feel like it's safe enough, they're going to want to have that process begin and start working with their guys. And the basketball season does feel longer away because it is. Than some of the uncertainty around football. So, I think there was some thought that maybe they would push it back a little bit. Coaches want to be on the floor. Coaches want to be with their team. And that's going to take place, I think, around most of the conference next week.
Have you gotten a sense at all of how those things are going right now? Voluntary right. workouts and just kind of the litmus test, I guess, specifically maybe even in the Big Ten of how that's going?
Yeah, it's been kind of stop and start at some place, but the coaches I've talked to, they say that the guys are trying to, are taking this as seriously as they can. And, a lot of them stayed in pretty good shape, even though they weren't, in the buildings for the spring as campuses were closed. And, I think, again, I talked to a coach the other day. He just said, we're just so far behind. We've met more than we've ever met, but we're so far behind as far as the on-field work. And so that's, I think, where coaches are really anxious is to start working with these guys on the field and getting some of that rust off, because, in many cases, there was very limited or no spring practice in football. And, for a new staff like Michigan State, or even with new coordinators, that can be a challenge. Very, very few Big Ten teams, or very few teams nationally, got even half of their spring practices in. So It's been a long time since they've been around these guys in that setting, and there's certainly a lot of angst and anticipation to start doing that again.
Adam Rittenberg is our guest.
Sorry, tell me whatever you want.
ESPN college football writer. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. I know you already do. Well, it's not like, I think anything that happens during this pandemic isn't exactly shocking us, but certainly when the Big Ten and Kevin Warren came out and said, okay, we're getting rid of non-conference games and we're only going to play conference games. What was your take on that, Adam? And then I want to kind of ask and go more of the FCS route on this, but for you, when you heard the news, I'm sure you weren't totally shocked, but what was your take kind of when that announcement was made by the Big Ten?
Yeah, not surprised. I heard it was likely the night before, to try to get it confirmed, and, You know, but this is something that the conference have been talking about for a number of weeks, is that, you know, this just seemed like the safest way to go about it. And also creating, I mean, there's several reasons. Obviously, from a communication standpoint, the league has been communicating with its members throughout this period. Their medical experts have an idea of what each one is capable of doing from a testing standpoint, and just resources. Having medical schools that can turn tests around in a relatively short period of time is really important. So there's that part of it. I think there's also the flexibility that, you know, if and when games are going to be postponed or canceled, or we have to move around the schedule, we feel more comfortable doing that within the league than outside of the league. And then there's just the priorities. I think the idea for many is, you know, if the fall season is shortened or interrupted or has to start later, you know, what are the most important games to get in? And with all due respect to the FCS games, or, you know, even some meaningful non-conference games, whether it's Iowa State, which obviously has history, or, you know, Ohio State Oregon, which is a game everybody wants to see, what's more important, that game or division games,
sure,
the Big Ten, or games that could determine a league champion? So I think the thought is, if we're only going to get this many games in, let's make sure that we get at least a division champion crowned, if not a Big Ten champion, and then we'll worry about everything else. And so there's obviously, you know, consequences to shortening the schedule, but in their mind, what would be worse is trying to play a full schedule and then only playing maybe half of the Big Ten schedule, when you can try to attempt to get most of the Big Ten schedule in.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. And before I go on the FCS route, well, actually, let me go that route. You know, we just talked to Nick Hill, SIU head football coach. I'm sure you've visited with Nick before. You know, what an impact that makes for those schools. Obviously, they were supposed to play at Wisconsin. That's about $500,000 that doesn't come Southern's way. I know Wisconsin will probably do whatever they can to get them back on the schedule in the future. But what are you hearing on the FCS level with regards to how tough this is, and what a nightmare this could become, honestly, for a lot of these programs?
Right. Yeah. I mean, no one expects this to happen. No one expects there to be, you know, an interrupted season or maybe no season. You know, again, I think it's going to have to cause everyone, especially outside of the Power Five, where you're not getting that massive television revenue, to evaluate, you know, how we run our programs. And, you know, yes, it may only be a 1 year interruption, and hopefully it is, and hopefully these games are back on the schedule for the foreseeable future. But I think everyone's really going to have to make tough decisions about, you know, how do we keep this going without everything falling apart, because we're not going to have this type of revenue. So, you know, whether it's you know, trying to hit up your donors as much as you can, or
sure,
or restructuring staffing, or just changing how you operate, you know, to try to get through this, I think we're going to see a lot of that around college sports. I mean, I think this is going to provide an opportunity for not just the FCS, but the Group of Five and even the Power Five to reevaluate, you know, how do we spend less money? The model that was in place, while it's great that all these opportunities are provided and all these teams are there, and there's all these great travel opportunities, that's just not sustainable. And you know, I obviously, you never want a pandemic to force you into these changes, but they were coming. I mean, Stanford cutting all those sports a couple of weeks ago,
right,
and we'll see more cuts. I mean, it wasn't going to be that extreme all at once, but you were going to see this eventually in college sports because of how it's operating. That one really bad thing, one really bad year can cause so much flux, probably says something about the way that you're operating as a business. And so I think there's just going to be a lot of changes, you know, certainly for the FCS, certainly for the Group of Five, and even in the Power Five.
Adam, I know right now there's a story on college football's page at ESPN about growing support for potentially a plan to go in the spring. And look, right now we're talking about a football-less fall sounds terrible,
right,
and just any kind of less fans, no tailgate, just give me football. Do you think that there would be a situation where it would make more sense to go in the spring if there was even maybe a window to try it out in the fall?
Well, I think there's two things. You know, either it gets so bad, you know, in terms of the numbers, or when, you know, the practices begin in August, or students come back and the presidents start panicking, that it just isn't possible to play in the fall.
Sure.
Or if there's, you know, real confidence that the spring is going to be better in terms of, you know, treatments and vaccines or whatever. I mean, that could be another motivation to say, okay, we're not just kicking the can down the road, for a few more months and hoping that it's better, but we really have evidence that we can do this more safely. But yeah, I talked to an AD in a group of five conference today who said it's crazy that we're thinking of playing in the fall. There's just too much risk for these presidents to take on. And if they felt like, okay, there really isn't going to be nearly as much risk in the spring, aside from all these other logistical challenges to doing so, I think there, you know, it will continue to get discussed. But you know, and Kirk Ferentz from Iowa said it today, and the popular phrase has been last resort when looking at the spring, because it just messes up so many things, from you know, rosters to playing the following season in the fall, and when you know, how are the games going to work? How many games do you play? I mean, it would just be much, much easier,
yeah, right,
obviously, if you can have a football season in the traditional winter, but it also could be much riskier.
Sure.
Adam, I'll admit this, Lon and I are in the easy spot here asking the questions with all
right.
these uncertain uncertainties, but I'm going to ask it anyway. In terms of Illinois, I know Illinois fans, we're expecting a big season this year, a lot of returnees, especially on offense. As someone who would predict or project how the league would shape out, would you maybe lean to a team that has those veterans, has guys where you're not having a quarterback battle in camp, where you kind of know what you're going to get? Would that, I don't want to use advantage, but would that be something that Illinois fans could maybe have more confidence in than another team?
Well, I think there's a couple of areas. If we're going to assume that the season takes place, this is actually a fun discussion. What are the factors that really determine whether a team has success or not? I think certainly depth is going to matter.
Sure.
Because if you assume that there are going to be positive tests, which, you know, again, there have pretty much everywhere, or guys that just have to be quarantined because they've been in contact with someone who's positive, then the depth of a team is really going to matter. Do you have multiple quarterbacks who can play? How's your second team offensive line? You know, how deep are you in the secondary? Those things are really important. And then the other one is just how disciplined your team is. What's the leadership like? You know, are your guys going to not go out that much or really be disciplined in terms of where they go and who they're around? I mean, you know, no one really wants to talk about that because we don't, you know, the college students just do what they do. But I do think there's teams that are better positioned to not have high numbers of positive tests because of the types of players they recruit and the leadership on their team and their coaches. That does matter. And I think we've seen, you know, a number of teams that haven't had high numbers. And it's not as though the ones that do are just reckless. But I do think there's a relationship with that. So certainly depth in the roster matters, but how's your leadership? How influential are your coaches? How disciplined is everybody in your locker room? That's going to matter, whether people want to like it, whether people want to talk about that or not. That's going to matter as far as which team shows up on Saturday.
Great stuff. Wrapping up with Adam Rittenberg, ESPN college football writer. Was there a non-conference Big Ten matchup you were really, really, really looking for and you're going to, or forward to, and now you're not going to get it?
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State-Oregon was going to be fascinating.
Yes.
Because you know, Oregon won the Pac-12 last year. They won the Rose Bowl. They were going to host the game, so it was going to be, you know, a real challenge for Ohio State early in the year to go out on the road to Autzen Stadium, which is one of the great environments in college football, and take on the Ducks. And you know, to see Justin Fields, that could have been, you know, his real opportunity to assert himself in the Heisman Trophy conversation. So, yeah, it's definitely disappointing that's not happening. Same with Michigan, Washington, and then Wisconsin and Notre Dame at Lambeau Field. I got a chance to see Wisconsin and LSU at Lambeau Field a number of years ago. It was a great win for Wisconsin and Paul Chryst over Les Miles, who was going to get fired a few weeks later at LSU. Mm. And so that's just disappointing because it's a great environment, and to see those two programs play for the first time in many, many years. I know they're supposed to play next year at Soldier Field here in Chicago, but that was one I was looking forward to.
Well, Adam Rittenberg, if you ever need that national story on tailgating and how it's not happening, there's a group of us right here at Illinois. I'll even take for ESPN that somber photo of me sitting in an open lot with a Bud Light, just, you know, just basically depressed. So if you ever need that kind of a story, man, I'm here for you, my friend.
Sounds good. Send it along. I appreciate it.
Thanks, all right, guys. Buddy. Thanks you, Adam. That is awesome stuff. ESPN college football writer, Adam Rittenberg. Follow him on Twitter, at ESPN Rittenberg. That's somebody that has just works his tail off. Just nonstop. If you follow him on Twitter, he's got a story, it seems like, every second. But there's a lot of storylines for him to cover. And like he said, it is normally media day right now. You know, right around this time is when, you know, every year we always, how much fun is it every year to, Trevor, you'll love this. How much fun is it every year to challenge Lon to see if he knows any of the coaches?
Ah.
See? See how see what COVID is doing?
That's my favorite game.
To say,
I hate it.
One of those things you didn't know you were missing from your life, but right. Now you do, and right. Now you're depressed.
I mean, it's the every summer embarrass Lon to the point of just where he doesn't even want to show his face, and now you guys don't get to do that.
But you wear it. You wear it well. Take that mantle up and do it for everybody else.
I think my high is getting, I think 7 of the 14 coaches I've ever predicted with a just a one line basically from the press conference. But, you know, it's just, it's weird, man. That, and it, as Adam was talking, I had this thought about college, like without fans, right? I mean, obviously we've talked about this. We've discussed this on the show where baseball is going to look weird. It's going to look strange to watch a game at Busch or Wrigley and not see fans. College football without fans, without tailgates. Let's say you're one of the 12,000 that gets to go to the Illinois-Iowa game. And you pull up that day in a brisk November morning or afternoon, and you have a easy parking spot to get. It's right there. Just take it. There's plenty of them. There's nobody in the lots around the stadium tailgating. And you walk into a Memorial Stadium, and I know the joke's out there, whatever. We've seen it where it's been barren. But you walk in, and there's only 12,000 other of your friends sitting around at a distance from you to watch this game. How surreal, how strange. And I know, listen, bottom line, still going to a college football game. Still a game. That would be wonderful. We would all take that. But how strange would it be in that situation to just walk in on a fall day, not see anybody tailgating, and go into a stadium that it's like, you know, there's nobody there, and it's Illinois, Iowa, and your team's won 6 games already.
So weird. So weird. I think college, you brought it up there, and I put the picture in my mind. College would be the weirdest as far as not having the fan environment. Don't get me wrong. A baseball game, Cubs-Cardinals in the summer, has an atmosphere to it that you're, if you were to be able to go, and it wasn't like that, you'd miss it.
Yep.
The NFL has some electric, loud, rowdy environments, but a college football Saturday, a college basketball game with the student section, to take that away would be really, really weird.
It would be.
And to think about, there is going to be a designated parking lot where there's going to be people monitoring and make sure you don't set up your little grill or make sure you're not pulling out the cooler and gathering around. Maybe you're pretending to look for your wallet in the car while you're putting down a couple Bud Lights before you walk in.
Do I have a feeling there'd be like 3 cars around me? Like just there'd be like FBI agents looking at it. I'm like, what? What? You're the main focus, Tay. It is weird.
But it would stink.
And can
It'd
I
be
ask
football,
you
guys, but it would stink.
Can I ask you guys, and I know it's easy for, you know, I'm going to use Illinois as the example. I know it's easy right now in July to say, well, we're going to go 20% capacity in Memorial Stadium. So, you know, the season isn't starting in a week. So they have the option here of saying, well, this is what we're going to do. If everything works out, we're going to go 20%. Baseball starts in a week. Those baseball stadiums are big. Why can't they have 20% capacity? Why couldn't I go to a Cardinals baseball game and sit 6 feet from the next person and you get maybe not 12,000, maybe you get 8,000 at Busch Stadium? I don't understand that, but I guess that's...
I mean, the real answer is that college football things are just hedging their bets until it's ultimately called off, whereas baseball's in 6 days, so they can't make a sort of a 3-month-out announcement to tide people over until it happens.
Very true.
But that's just the painful truth, not
that
what
is,
you're looking for.
It is. That's exactly right. And it's just, I don't know. It,
you would think they could put something together, though.
Yeah. I mean, I know your answer, Derek, and mine would be if I could get a ticket to a Cardinals baseball game this year, one of the 30 games they're hosting at Busch Stadium, if I could take Andrew to a baseball game this summer and go sit at Busch Stadium and he and I can sit in one little corner, I don't care if it's the upper deck, I'd rather be in right field. They got the Bud Light Terrace,
right,
or the Budweiser Terrace. Put me up in the Budweiser Terrace upper deck and put somebody 10 feet away from me. I'm doing it. I'm in. I'm in. And I think you would be too.
I would. And you could go to a restaurant and do that.
Yeah.
In St. Louis. You could go to Lake of the Ozarks.
Yep.
So I...
Yeah, I could go to the grocery store on the way down and run into people.
Yeah.
Literally, just bump into people at the grocery store. But then I can't sit 20 feet from the next guy at Busch Stadium and enjoy a cold beer. Even if they wouldn't let you buy beer and food, that's fine. I just want to go to a game.
I don't see how they could in terms of like handing hot dogs off and stuff.
I agree. Because I know they talked a little bit about that today at concession. It'd be like a grab and go, essentially, at Memorial Stadium if that ever comes around. But
a lot of grab and go for restaurants. Yeah, I mean, that's people been doing it.
Right. And I have, there is no hidden agenda with what I'm saying right now. This is off the cuff. I just don't understand how it wouldn't be safe to get 10,000 people at Wrigley Field.
As long as getting a ticket, part of that process is acknowledging there's no liability on the Cardinals' end. If you were to
get
COVID-19 by going to a game, they're not.
And that therein lies the problem, probably.
But how many people would say, okay?
Because I don't know. I mean, I would need an attorney to explain it, but I'm not sure how big a waiver holds up if you went to Wrigley and got it, and they said, well, you signed that waiver, and you still took it to court. I don't know. I just don't know, and I don't even want to go in that area.
The problem, really, I think the argument is that you signed the waiver, but if you go back to your neighborhood and touch a bunch of people that didn't sign the waiver and then they get it, you know, they didn't sign up for that.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, and that's what I know. It always laughs like nobody in my neighborhood knows that I'm going to go to Meijer tonight and grab hamburger.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but like Meijer is life or death. You got to get milk. You don't.
Okay.
You don't need to get a hot dog at a baseball game same way you need to get food.
I guess.
I mean, maybe you do, but
you could go.
Maybe I'd tell
outdoor
them.
Seating somewhere downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's not 8,000 people at an outdoor restaurant downtown.
Maybe right. I would argue that I do my shopping at Busch Stadium.
That's fair.
I buy my hot dogs.
You do your grocery shopping at the food vendor.
I buy my Cracker Jacks.
Paying a premium.
Cotton candy.
Might have everything you need.
I'd buy like 4 items for the price of what I would buy an entire month full at a normal grocery store. But hey, I had to come in. You got to let me in. I got to eat. Look at me. They'd be like, no, not you. You're fine. You're eating enough. All right. It'd be tough. I know Bill says getting those people in and out of the building, in and out of the bathrooms. I get it. I mean, there's so many variables here, you know, do you space it out to where, okay, one fan can come in every 10 seconds. And then how long do you want to wait an hour to get into Busch Stadium and you're standing 5 feet away from the entrance? So
one of the Memorial Stadium rules that came out was they're going to give you more time to go in.
Oh.
Like they're going to open it up like 2.5 hours early. But I thought almost like, why is that better?
Yeah, that's true.
Like if you're sitting there near people technically exposed,
right,
quote unquote, for 2.5 hours, how is that safer than 90 minutes?
That's fair. That's fair. Scott, you're
asking. How many people are walking through the door at the 2.5 hour mark?
Right.
I don't know.
Scott asks, this is a moral question. How does anyone prove where you got it? Well, I mean, I guess morally, you're trying, we as humans are trying to do the right thing and wear masks and try to avoid situations that could cause issues for our family, our friends, etc.
That's exactly the point, is you don't.
Right.
So exercise caution.
Right. That's true.
One part of it that makes sense in terms of not having fans from the get-go is let's see if we can get through some baseball games with the players.
Yes.
Staying safe.
Yep. That's
a great point. Versus having a group, or obviously larger than a group, a bunch of people in the in the seats.
And I think we're going to learn a lot here in the next month, you know, with baseball starting in a week from today. We'll be leaving the radio station knowing there's a baseball game that night. An actual game that counts, baseball, on TV that night. And then you're going to have NBA in their bubble. Then you're going to have NHL in their bubble. I think those, you feel kind of like the TBT. You feel like there's a better chance because they're in that bubble. They're taking themselves serious. You know, they're not leaving the bubble, et cetera. Whereas baseball, you're traveling from city to city. And that is a concern. Now, granted, they're all together. They're not going to be walking through Lambert Airport with 5,000 other people. They're going to be chartering a plane and heading to where they're going. So, yeah, I don't know. Ken said, isn't baseball's 60-game season premised on the March contract section that stipulated fans won't be present, i.e. the owners can't bring in fans under the terms of the agreement they used to force 60? I don't know, but it could be, Ken. I've never read the fine print with that. So that very well could be the players may have said, look, we'll do this, but we don't want fans there.
Well, and I do wonder if there's any type of an MLB push, and we haven't seen it yet, but if there's any type of an MLB initiative to where they say, you know, like, quote-unquote competitive imbalance, if Texas is blowing up with COVID, then the Rangers can't have fans, but then the Rangers go on the road to Oakland, and they do have fans.
Good point.
Do you argue that that has some type of an intangible effect on the game?
Good point.
You know, St. Louis having fans and Chicago not having fans isn't fair, essentially.
I think they still need to do one fan a game at every stadium. And you would be the fan of the game. Like, welcome to St. Louis, Busch Stadium, hosting the Chicago Cubs tonight. Temperature's going to be nice. It's going to be in the mid-70s. Cardinals two-game lead on the Cubs. We also want to let you know about Trevor Valise. He is our fan of the game out in center field.
In St. Louis?
Yeah, and then you stand up, you're like, yay! And then so you are the... Actually, they could have a fan from each. So it'd be like you in left field, Piper in right. Like, let's meet our fans of the game. And it's Derek Piper in right field. And then you guys are like the only natural sound in the whole stadium. So the thing you have to agree to is that you have to cheer crazy. Like, Piper would have to go crazy if the Cardinals do something right. You would go crazy if the Cubs do something right. How funny would it be, like, you, Darvish, strikes out Matt Carpenter to start the game. It's like, here's the pitch to Carp. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. And you hear Valise going, yeah! Out in right field. I think that'd be awesome, man. You could get sponsored.
I wonder who's going to be on the Jumbotron in between innings, a dance-off.
Right, right.
Well, it's me and this guy.
Yeah. Here goes the second inning now, is the dance-off. Then the third inning, you'd have like a hot dog eating contest, a beer chugging contest in the fourth inning.
The in-house like MC for the Cardinals is really going to have to stretch for content during the game. Usually he's always going up to people, you know, interacting.
And, yeah. Yeah, Todd Thomas is the guy. Yeah. Now he's without a job. I mean, it's crazy. You can call me, Sal says, do an animal who you got. This is depressing. It's true. All right, when we come back, stuff. And in that stuff, I'm going to tell you about Tiger Woods at the Memorial. They've got a big golf tournament going on in the PGA, speaking of a sport that's rolling. We'll update you on that and more when we return. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
On November 23rd, 2012, WSJK-FM was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until December 1st of 2020. Our license will expire on December 1st, 2020, and we must file an application for renewal with the FCC on August 1st, 2020. Anyone who wishes to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by November 1st of 2020. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection at publicfiles.fcc.gov/fm-profile/WSJK, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554. It contains information concerning the station's performance during the last 8 years. First Responder of the Month, brought to you by Engelbrick Grills and Cookers, building award-winning grills in Paxton, Illinois. Visit grillsandcookers.com. Jason Rector, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, you are a firefighter for the city of Champaign.
Yes, sir.
All right, tell me about why you wanted to be a firefighter.
Yeah, so growing up, my neighbor was a firefighter. His name was Terry Swift, and he asked, do you know what you want to be when you grow up? And I said, no, not yet. And he said, I think you should check out the Champaign Fire Department. I think you'd be really good at it and you'd like it. So that's kind of what planted the seed, and I pursued a career that day moving forward.
You gotta be kidding. All right, so how does one become a firefighter?
Yeah, so you have to be 21 years old to be hired. There's a testing process, and we're getting ready to do a test this fall. There's a written component, a physical fitness component, and an interview.
First Responder of the Month, brought to you by Engelbrick Grills and Cookers, building award-winning grills in Paxton, Illinois. Visit grillsandcookers.com.
FDA findings and scientific studies indicate that ingredients found in many chemical sunscreens may cause damage to humans and the environment. To choose a safe sunscreen, look for active ingredients non-nano zinc oxide or non-nano titanium dioxide. More info at safesunscreencouncil.org. The goal at PDR Automotive in Urbana is a simple one: to provide you with the safe, reliable transportation in your vehicle. They aren't just after the quick fix to get you back on the road, but instead have two main priorities. They want you to feel safe in your automobile, and they want you satisfied with their work. PDR has been in business since 1973 for a reason. They give quality service and will explain every turn of the wrench. So call them the next time your car or truck has an issue at 367-9481, or visit them on Cunningham Avenue in Urbana. Oh man, look at the damage to my roof after that storm.
CU Under Construction can identify and fix problems before they lead to disaster. Get a free estimate by a fully insured and bonded roofing company.
Hi, this is Kenny with CU Under Construction. I just wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit about our roofing division at CU Under Construction. We specialize in storm damage. Did you know CU Under Construction completed over 100 roofs in 2019 from local storms? For details, visit CUUnderConstruction.com.
Dear area chiropractors, we, the team members of Two Men in a Truck, apologize for potentially taking businesses away from you. We know that every move we perform with our professionally trained movers who use proper lifting techniques may take a patient from you. Less muscle strains, fewer back out of whack, but many happily moved clients. Keep up the great work, area chiropractors. We support you. Sincerely, your friends at Two Men in a Truck and TwoMenChampagne.com. That's a smart move.
Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now back open for business at the corner of 6th and Green in Campustown. Head down, take advantage of great clearance deals. Short sleeve t-shirts are one for $4.99 or five for only $20. Other clearance items are marked down up to 50% off. For the best selection of Fighting Illini gear in Campustown, visit the official fan store of the Fighting Illini. Game Day Spirit.
Has COVID canceled your summer plans? Sign your kids up for summer camps teaching science, technology, engineering, the arts, and mathematics through unique curriculums. Learn how to take your idea and translate it into something that can change the world in the invention camp, or learn basic graphic design skills in the digital art camp. And don't miss out on the drones and things that fly camp. These camps have limited availability, so be sure to sign your kids ages 8 to 12 up at steamcamper.com/book online. Steam Camper. Summer Camp. Reimagine.
It's happening. In just days, Publishers Clearinghouse will be ready to award $7,000 a week for life. That's $7,000 a week, week after week, for life. Don't miss your last chance to win. Go to PCH.com and enter before it's too late. That's PCH.com. Better hurry if you want the next big winner to be you. Enter now at PCH.com. Entries due 8/26. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
We've all been stuck at home, looking at all the things we'd like to change about where we live. Well, Flooring Surfaces is here to help. The summer of savings starts now with discounted pricing on hundreds of the best floors around. Select in-stock hardwoods are cut by 50%. Double discounts on laminate floors and premium imported tiles start at just $125 per square foot. Flooring Surface stocks over 1 million square feet of flooring, so you will find a tile, hardwood, carpet, or waterproof vinyl floor that will freshen your space and save you money. We are a local business that's open to serve you in a clean and safe environment. Call 398-1990 to set up a personalized showroom experience or a safe in-home consultation. Then get ready to save with Flooring Surfaces.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
On the fly here, we got some business to do, and Pipes, I gotta give you a new song. You don't have enough time. Hey. Now you do.
I'm gonna tell you about the Business Bounce Back Contest, powered by...
Cool.
It really is.
If you're a business owner, you want to listen to this.
It's powered by the University of Illinois Community Credit Union. Go to the website, stevyj.com, J-A-Y.com, to sign up to win a $1,000 ad campaign to help your business thrive after some challenging months at UICCU. It's all about the campus and community wanting to help and spread the word about terrific local businesses. Three winners will be chosen in August, so sign up before the end of July at stevyj.com. It's our Business Bounce Back with the University of Illinois Community Credit Union.
All right, it's The Drive, ESPN Radio. With Tay and Piper, I'm Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. Trevor Valise here as well, sitting in the other room. Not because of COVID, just because that's where he sits.
Actually, it was born out of COVID.
It kind of was, wasn't it?
I used to be in there, but now I just kind of like the two screens in front of me.
Do you know what's funny?
The wall between me and Lante's germs.
I can. Before, I could never see you.
Uh-huh.
Now I see a third of your face.
Well, we're slowly working our way to my entire ugly mug being in your full view.
And you can still flip the YouTube and Twitch to where you can see Trevor Valise.
I just did it. Did it work?
It hasn't changed yet on our end.
It hasn't?
No. You still see Piper and I. Ah, there he is.
There I am.
That is a close-up, dude.
Well, Diane moved it closer.
Ah.
I said, Diane, why do we need to see our faces this close?
Well, yeah. Wow, there's a really close one of me. I don't like that one.
Oh, hang on.
There we go. That's good.
Ooh. Sorry about that.
All right, we're gonna go through some stuff now.
The one person on YouTube enjoyed that
right.
1 minute joke.
I think Lucas, I know my son Lucas is watching on Twitter. So is there a way to speed up the Twitter or to fast forward on the Twitter?
Yeah, I think you have to like hold down on the screen
okay.
and start swiping or something. There is a way.
Okay, I was gonna ask you about that. Derek, we were talking about fans in the seats at Major League Baseball. You pulled up an article between segments here, and what did you find out?
Yeah, Richard Justice from MLB.com addressed this, said, we might see some fans in some cities at some point, but not out of the gate. It'll be fascinating to see what teams come up with plans for their, obviously not a normal atmosphere, but... cardboard cutouts been discussed, pumped up crowd sounds and everything else, but we might get to a point where, depending on the state regulations, where some teams will go ahead and try to get fans in the stands. I know that J.B. Pritzker last month had said up to 8,000 would be allowed in either Wrigley or I can't.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah.
The old Comiskey.
Why don't I know the White Sox?
I don't know. I don't know where they play.
Guaranteed rate field.
That's it. That's it.
Guaranteed to have no more than 8,000.
I've gotten to the point in my life I just called a stadium, whatever it was when I basically was like into sports as much as I ever was. Like, luckily, Busch Stadium stayed Busch Stadium, you know. Like, the arena. I still sometimes call the Blues at the arena. So, well, I had not heard that from Governor
Pritzker. Do you hope they get any at the Astrodome?
The Astros got off so easy, man.
Oh, man. Does anybody even, I mean, you know, before all this COVID, we were talking about, oh my gosh, the first game they play, I think they were supposed to play the Rangers.
Well, it was at the Angels.
Oh, Angels.
And, like, New York residents bought up, like, half the seats in the stadium, and there was going to be a bunch of Yankees fans that went out there. It was like a full-fledged, like, GoFundMe trip.
Oh, I had not heard this.
To, like, spike the Astros with a bunch of booze, you know, because it was the Yankees and the Astros for the AL championship when this happened.
And you know, the thought was, are they just going to get drilled? Like, are all eight hitters going to get drilled?
Happen.
Yeah, it still could. But
just,
man,
you know, no fans.
If you're wasting 60 and you can't fight.
Yeah, true. I mean, you can, but it's an automatic suspension.
Yeah, so you're not going to see any fighting. You can't spit, for heaven's sakes, let alone fight.
Ironically enough, even if
that's going to happen,
I don't either. Ironically enough, though, even if they hadn't caught the Astros, they would not be able to do their trash can thing this year because there's no fans.
That's
right?
True.
I mean, you hear the
that would be pretty obvious.
I mean,
you'd
hear that, right? So even if they hadn't gotten caught yet, they weren't going to be able to utilize it this year, anyways.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because that thing would have been really obvious.
They're in a lose-lose, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, if they're good, people are like, well, then why the heck did you have to cheat?
Because
they're good anyways.
Correct.
If they stink, it's like the best thing ever.
Yep. Now you knew why they won. That's what they're going to say. I mean, there's so many good players.
We know they're good, though.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Carrasco and
it's like the Patriots cheating.
Or not Carrasco.
Correa.
Sorry.
Altuve.
Yeah, Altuve. You're right.
Bregman.
That's my fault. Like, you know all the team and I don't, but I'm interrupting you going through the team. But what you made is perfect. I mean, yeah, it helped if the Patriots were able to cheat, but they were so good too,
right.
You know? But then again, I mean, you know.
When they beat the Colts by 5 touchdowns with a partially deflated ball, they could have beat him with a fully deflated ball. Just like, now don't get me wrong, Altuve knowing that Chapman's throwing a.
Right.
Was it a changeup that he was throwing?
I thought it was a slider.
A slider, throwing off speed.
Yeah.
And then he hit it out to win the ALCS. That's
big.
Difference between going to the World Series and not.
Yep. That's big. That's a lot of money.
An insanely talented team.
How much money is that for a team to make it out of the LCS and go to the World Series? How much more money is that for an organization? A lot. TV money, fans. All of a sudden, you got 3 sellouts or 4.
That's a lot of trash cans.
A lot of trash cans. That's exactly.
I still can't believe they got away with that.
I know.
Like when they show you the footage from the documentaries, literally right inside the dugout stairwell, there's a guy with a laptop, a speed gun, a towel, a bat, and a trash can.
That
just
is
sitting
weird.
There.
I haven't seen that.
There's like a screen cap from like Astros making it the title, like some DVD Astros. And there's a screen cap of like the setup. Now there's not a guy sitting there, but it's all the stuff laying there.
Right.
After the game.
Right.
And I don't know. I just have a hard time believing they've been doing this for 3 years, every single game, and not once some usher or dugout policeman or grounds crew member, like no one said, who the heck is that weirdo with laptop and the bat beating on a trash can
Correct.
Down there?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like the third base umpire didn't see that dude.
I don't know, it just seems odd.
That is kind of strange. Or, like, not umpire. How about the pitcher or the shortstop?
Or, like, you know, Ken Rosenthal goes down there after the game.
Well, that's true.
Or just anything. I don't know how they got away with it.
Come on, Klabes. Where were you? Well, they didn't play the Astros. Klabes would have turned him in. Hey, I want to take you through. Round 1 is in progress at the Memorial. Kind of always been known as the 5th major in golf.
The scores have been pretty crazy today.
Yeah. Tony Finau leads... Right now, there's still golfers on the course. Tony Finau at 6 under. Whoever R. Palmer, I had a buddy Ron Palmer in college, so I'll go with that. 5 under. Whoever B. Steele, is that Brandon?
Brandon Steele.
Brandon Steele's 4 under. Gary Woodland, 4 under. Charles Howell III, 3 under.
Royalty.
Tiger Woods returned to the PGA Tour the way you'd expect. This is a little paragraph from Nick. Can you guys go to ESPN real quick? I want to take a chance on how we would say this dude's name. Just go to the homepage of ESPN, scroll down to where you see, by the way, 5 Americans leading it. So here's how you spell his last name. PIETRUSZKIEWICZ.
Well, I have Petrus. That so part of it. Wasn't there Michael Petrus? Or?
Yeah. That's right.
Basketball player.
So,
oh, my goodness.
I assume the Z is silent.
Petruskiewicz. I guess.
That's Nick Petruskiewicz. Let's go with that one.
Petruskiewicz.
Let's go with that.
Nick Petruskiewicz.
Petruskiewicz. Good job. We did a pretty good job of that.
Bryson DeChambeau hit a 423-yard drive.
Ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's what a par 4 is. Maybe not for the PGA, but...
He's been tearing places up. He's had 7 straight top 10 finishes, and he's +1 today.
I think he's corking his driver.
Might be.
Here's the Nick. I'm not trying it again. Tiger Woods returned to the PGA Tour the way you'd expect, carefully feeling out his body and the golf course on a blustery day at Muirfield. He opened with birdie, closed with birdie, posting a solid 1-under-71. His first event in 5 months. Now he has a quick turnaround. His second round tee time is 8:17, which I assume would be 7:17 our time on Friday. Yeah, that's in Dublin, Ohio.
is that tells you something. They say a solid one under when this same course. I know they moved the tees back and sped up the greens.
Okay,
I think Morikawa was 19 under.
Whoa,
when he won. Oh, him and Justin Thomas went to a playoff at 19 under.
Oh, you mean last week?
Yes, because they're at the same course.
Oh, it is the same course?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, so they made this one major ready.
It's a major field.
Hell, they just, that, like the...
Like,
the,
what do you specifically do to grass to make it harder?
Well, you cut the grass on the greens shorter, so...
Okay.
The stint, I believe they say, so it's quicker. You're like putting on glass.
See, I still don't get much about golf.
And then you can, you know, you basically understand where most guys land, and you can raise the rough in that area to make that a little bit tougher. It's not like you can go much deeper on.
It's not like they're excavating, right? They're not going to completely mold a new hill on the course or something,
right? I think mainly you know if you've got a landing area, let's say on a on the sixth hole. Down the middle of the fairway, you could maybe make the grass pretty slick there, where the ball rolls into the rough, and then your shot. Because when you hit out a rough, it's harder to stop a ball on the green. You can't get the spin that you normally would. Not that any of us have ever spun a ball. I think I did once accidentally with my Pro V1, but that was an accident. And I was like, wow, did you see that? I mean, I think it spun off the green, which I should have been upset about. But instead, I was like, I just spun a ball. Hand me a beer. That's pretty cool. All right, so that's that. And, yeah, Chambeau hits the drive 423 yards. You've got to be kidding me. Real Madrid win first La Liga title in 3 years. Just FYI in soccer. Who's the one soccer dude that always texts in? He'll be excited that I did that.
You can call me Sal?
That's it. I think it was him.
So A-Rod can't call Mets games because he's invested in the group that's going to buy him. There's another headline for you.
Like, what would that matter?
I don't know.
What would that matter?
Wasn't Jessica Mendoza?
I was going to say Jessica Mendoza was like an advisor or something for them.
Oh, my. John Rahm, by the way, is the only non-American in the top, 15? And John Rahm is graduated Arizona State. He's 3 under. I'm looking for other names. Rory McIlroy finished at 2 under. We mentioned, there's Patrick Reed at 1 under. Vijay Singh, 1 under. Tiger Woods, 1 under, as mentioned. Louis Oosthuizen, however you say that, even. Ernie Els, even par.
Sergio, even. Phil Mickelson, even. Brooks Koepka, even.
Wow, how about that little group with Jim Furyk and Jason Duffner? They're all even right there. That's a nice little group. All right, Steve Stricker playing. He's 1 over. So we've got
Actually, by the standards of today, pretty decent.
Pretty solid.
Dustin Johnson, who won the Travelers, if I'm not mistaken, is 8 over.
Holy cow. And Ricky Fowler's 9 over.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay, so they're not going to be anywhere. Bubba Watson, 6 over. Who was the kid that won it last week? See, these
Colin Morikawa. He's 4 over.
4 over. This is a big tournament. I mean, listen, for Ryder Cup and everything, although I think now that's probably going to spread out since they're not going to do it until next year, but I don't know. All right, is there anything else we're missing?
PGA, last note here.
Oh, yeah, go.
I'm dived into golf. I don't know why. I think 48 of the top 50 players are playing.
Wow. 48 of the
PGA
top 50.
Said.
Wow. Wow. Mike Wollner, by the way. The U of I course, hard and fast greens and fairways with tall rough make for high scores. Got it. All right, so we kind of were right there. Green speed equals stimp rating. That was another one. And your lack of golf knowledge is painful to listen to. What don't I understand about golf?
Maybe he's talking to me.
Oh, okay.
Which, yeah.
I've golfed all my life.
You got me. I don't have any.
Well, dang it.
This guy's got an interesting text history here, so leave him be.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll challenge him. Let's go.
Also, Zion Williamson leaves the bubble.
Yeah, what? Yeah, why?
Family emergency.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw that. I mean, that's big for them, right? Because they're, what, 3 games out of making the playoffs since the NBA is going to play, if you remember this from a month ago, the NBA is going to play 8 regular season games, I believe, and then the playoffs begin. So there's going to be some teams that play these 8 games and then don't make it so then they can escape the bubble and don't stay in it. So even those games are going to be in Orlando.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. How many courts are they utilizing? 3?
3, I think.
Okay. So
There's like a midday, late afternoon, and then an evening game or something
like
that.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was like an AAU tournament where you got three courts going at the same time and they're right next to each other, and you're like...
Ball goes out of bounds, and you gotta stop the game.
I think that'd be awesome, man. That would be awesome. All right, listen, we fought through stuff. That was good. That was good that we did
It was
that.
Always texting Charlie, he says, for soccer. You can call me always, Sal, always texting Charlie.
Always texting. We always get those two mixed up.
I know.
Up. Yeah.
I feel bad.
Sorry about that, always texting. That's our bad. All right, hey, want to thank Nick Hill, Southern Illinois head football coach. Good stuff there. Talking about the FCS, which used to be 1AA compared to 1A and now the FBS. We talked to him at 4:30. Adam Rittenberg joined us at 5:05. Cubs fans, you'll want to listen to the Mettler mix-up. We talked to Matthew Gordon about Anthony Rizzo dealing with back tightness. Is he going to be ready to go? That'll be interesting to see for the Scrubbies. All right, tomorrow is Friday?
It is.
We're talking to Samari Collier.
We are. Illini football quarterback commit.
Sweet.
Down in Texas.
Okay, he's coming on tomorrow.
Watch his highlights. Some homework. Watch his highlights before. Not that you probably haven't, but.
I have not, actually.
Before the show tomorrow.
Okay, I will do that. I will YouTube Samari Collier and watch those things. Does it have the circle around him, like, before each play? I mean, you pretty much know who he is, right? He's a quarterback. Yeah.
You might not need that for the quarterback.
I was going to say, I love when it's an offensive lineman, and I'm like, okay, which one is he? It's like, oh, there's the circle. Okay, I see him. All right, we'll do that. Probably who you got tomorrow as well. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Derek. Let's get out of here. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.